Hello and welcome to the Girls Fuel podcast. My name is Haley. I'm a registered dietitian and nutrition coach here to help you along your health and fitness journey by providing evidence and experience-based knowledge and full transparency. Today, I have a very special guest and we're going to have a very important conversation with you today. I am joined by my friend and colleague, Jordan Kivrak. She is a woman's nutrition and personal fitness trainer who works online. She does such a great job really teaching women how they can make health and fitness part of their lifestyle in a realistic and sustainable way. Jordan is also a registered nurse and just a wealth of knowledge for really all things health, wellness, and physique change. So today we are here to break it down for you about how you can change your body without restriction, without feeling like you're always on a diet and having to miss out on things that matter in life, right? So we're going to really talk about how you can change your body while avoiding getting into a restrictive mindset around food. And Jordan, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I've been wanting to have you on forever.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat.
Yes. So we'll just kind of kick it off. And Jordan, why do you feel like this is an important topic to talk about?
Yeah, so overall, I feel like when we're talking about health and fitness, I think it's important to remember that they can go hand in hand, but overall they're two separate things. And health, and by health I mean physical and mental health, that should always be number one. When our physical health is optimized, then great. At that point, we can work on more fitness and physique related goals if we would like. But I see too many women getting this backwards and focusing solely on physique and fitness related goals when really they need to be optimizing their internal health first. So we have to remember, when we have physique related goals, a lot of times that requires a calorie deficit. It might require a higher level of training. And these are definitely like stressors on the body, right? So if we already have a bunch of other stressors going on in our body, whether that's, poor mental health or poor physical health related to, so many different things, just different stressors going on, such as gut issues, hormone issues, lack of quality sleep, eating a mostly westernized diet, chronic dieting, and all the issues that come with that. The truth is, it's just going to be really, really hard to reach those physique related goals because your body is not going to be working with you. It's going to be working against you. And then, on the like mental or mindset side of things, I just see a lot of women trying to, reach these physique related goals before really developing a good, healthy relationship with food and body. And, I see so many women who come to me saying, like, Jordan, I feel like I've been dieting for years and years and I've never really gotten anywhere. And that's always a huge red flag because to me, I'm saying, if you've never gotten anywhere, or maybe you have lost weight, but you've gained it all back, there's something wrong in this system. We're doing it wrong. And a lot of times after digging deeper, it's because yeah, they haven't optimized their physical health first, their internal health, or they just go about things in such an extreme way that it's just not realistic and they can't sustain it. So
No, I agree with all of that. And I think a big part of getting into like a health journey for a lot of people is weight loss. And I think it's, our job in part to change that narrative. So that way when a woman thinks about, hey, I want to get healthy, the first thing they think about shouldn't be, I'm going to lose weight to do that. Yes, weight loss may be necessary to achieve that optimum health, but just like you mentioned, if they're not learning how to do it in a way that is sustainable for everything else that they want in life, their values, it isn't necessarily going to benefit them, right? Because we get caught in these extremes of being, all right, I'm dieting, I'm gung ho, I'm avoiding these things, I'm not going out to eat. But then the switch flips and that all goes out the window and we have nothing, right? We have no healthy habits to fall back on. So I like that a lot about what you talk about in your content and with your clients, how we build those habits first. And then we focus on, okay, now what are we going to do with them? What is that next step there?
exactly. Yeah. And my overall goal as a coach is really just to help you reach those goals in a, what I like to tell people is in a healthy body and mind approach. So,
I love that. And what is exactly does that mean, healthy and body and mind together?
Well, I mean, basically, it just means, like you said, kind of nailing those habits first, making sure our internal health is optimized, and not, and overall taking, you know, the what I like to call the long route that usually ends up being the shorter route, because you reach your goals and you actually sustain them. But we're not being restrictive. We're not going to be, you know, cutting out food groups. We're not going to be cutting out certain macros. You can still have a social life and reach your fitness goals. We're not going to be taking things so far, so extreme that your hormones are going to be impacted, that your gut health is going to be impacted. We're going to make sure that, you know, we monitor everything. We monitor your internal health. We make sure that these biomarkers are, you know, are still going strong the whole time you're dieting. And yeah, and overall, the focus isn't just solely on weight loss or fat loss. We want to make sure everything is optimized.
For sure. And I think that's where the very like close communication, high touch coaching can come in. And I know you do this too, where even if we do have a client in a deficit, we're always asking questions to gauge their mental state. How food focused are they? Are they getting nervous about eating out or doing a refeed or getting to the end of their diet? We're always thinking about how we can get ahead of that to really help women understand that, you know, being in a deficit and trying to lose weight, that's just a phase. That's not where you should live your life. And that's kind of where I want to go next with, you know, what do you see are some common reasons for women not being able to lose weight? And very, very trendy term in the coaching space right now, also known as weight loss resistance.
Yeah, great question. So yeah, like you said, this is kind of a buzzy term right now, weight loss resistance. And I'll be honest, I don't necessarily like the term. I think it's important that women know that, like, you're never broken. Your metabolism's never broken. These things can always be fixed, for sure. And I do think there are some individuals in the coaching space that do tend to, you know, maybe prey on women and, you know, make them try to buy into their program, make them think their body's broken, that they need all these fancy protocols and supplements in order to reach their goals. When in reality, that's usually not what they need. They usually just need some lifestyle makeover and some, you know, building some healthy habits. But yeah, like overall, you know, there are several reasons why I see women having a hard time losing weight. And I'll be honest, the biggest reason is lack of awareness of their caloric intake. You know, I cannot tell you the amount of women who have come to me for coaching and have said, Jordan, I eat, you know, insert some extremely low caloric intake, whether that's 800, 1200, 1000, whatever, and I cannot lose weight. And, you know, I usually, after digging deeper at that point, what I find is they are not actually eating that low of calories, at least not on a very consistent day-to-day basis. Sure, maybe 2, 3, 4 days of the week, they're eating these low calories, but then the other days they're eating an exponential amount of calories and they're not actually technically on that weekly average in a calorie deficit. A lot of women also just don't track their intake. So it's really easy to not be aware of the amount of calories you're actually consuming. Research shows that most individuals underestimate their caloric intake by 20 to up to 50%, which is, it's a lot. I mean, to put that into perspective, that's someone thinking or reporting saying, yeah, I eat 1200 calories a day. But in reality, if they were to actually meticulously track everything that they eat, every bite, lick, taste, their caloric intake is actually 1800. That's a 50% difference. And not saying that 1800 is a lot of food, it's not, but that can be the difference of, hey, I think that I'm eating this really low caloric amount and I'm weight loss resistant, when in reality, you're just not in a deficit. But if we had that level of awareness, we could actually put you into a deficit and you can actually lose weight. So that's usually the biggest reason why I see people feel like they're struggling to lose weight. And typically, you know, most cases I can put someone in what should be a healthy calorie deficit. I can teach them how to be more aware of their caloric intake, whether that's via macro tracking or another approach, and they can actually see weight loss, you know, at a reasonable calorie amount. You know, there's so many of my clients, I'll give them a reasonable calorie amount and, you know, maybe it's like 1600, 1700 calories. And a lot of times they're just amazed. They're like, how can I lose weight on that amount of food? But they can, you know, when they're actually tracking it that every single day, they can lose weight. So anyways, That's the biggest reason. But also, yes, I do want to acknowledge that weight loss resistance is very real, and it can actually be like someone is truly eating a very low amount of food where they should technically be losing weight, but they're not. And, you know, typically the reason for that is just very poor chronic lifestyle habits. And overarching, like the reason for it is just stress on the body. And stress comes in so many different forms. Like we have, yes, perceived psychological stress, like, hey, I'm stressed at work, you know? But we also have other forms of stress, whether that's, you know, psychological perceived stress, or like blood sugar imbalances, whether that's highly westernized diet, whether that's insulin resistance, obesity, inflammation via, you know, gut issues, hormonal imbalances, things like that. Those are all stressors on the body. So when we are, you know, like everyone is going to have these stressors in some capacity, but the difference between someone who is healthy and able to actually go into a deficit and see the changes that they want and someone that's not, is that there's a balance of these stressors. And at some point, when someone has so many stressors going into their stress bucket, that stress bucket is going to pour over, it's going to spill over. And that's whenever they start seeing these unwanted side effects. And that's whenever they're going to start developing weight loss resistance.
That was a beautiful explanation. And hopefully that gives you some insight to what might be going on if you feel like you're doing everything right and not losing weight. So we've kind of talked about what can be done wrong. We've talked about why it might be happening. So Jordan, with all that in mind, if I am trying to diet, but I'm not losing weight, what should I do? What is needed for weight loss to truly occur?
Yeah, another good question. So let's first talk about what actually needs to occur to lose weight, to lose body fat. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard the term CECO, calories in versus calories out. And I want to start off by saying I fully acknowledge that there are so many aspects that can impact these two areas. There's a lot of things that can impact calories in, whether that's, you know, how we metabolize our food, and there are things that can impact calories out, right? Via, you know, energy expenditure. Some people have downregulated metabolisms, etc. So there are many factors that play into these two things. But overall, it's just science that in order to lose body fat, to lose weight, we have to be in a calorie deficit. We have to be burning more calories than we are taking in. So number one, if, you know, I have a client that I'm coaching and I give them, you know, X amount of calories, what I predict should be a healthy calorie deficit for them. And we go, I typically tell people, like, give it 3 to 4 weeks before you say something's not working. 3 to 4 weeks of consistency first. So I, you know, and then at that point, if they're not losing weight, I'll say, okay, I want you to be real honest with yourself and with me. Are we truly being very consistent with our caloric intake? Because what a lot of women, I think, don't realize, and I've kind of struggled with this in my past too, is yes, maybe you're hitting your numbers 5 or 6 days of the week, but if you're having one day, and I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but one day of just excessively overeating, that it can be enough to throw someone out of a deficit. So like there is a level of like consistency that has to be there in order to truly be in a calorie deficit. So I always just want to make sure, you know, first of all, people have given it enough time. Second of all, they're actually being consistent with their intake. And then if yes, their intake is consistent and they're still not seeing weight loss, then I look into, okay, well, how's our energy output? So when I calculate macros for people, I always ask them, a big part of macro calculations, calorie calculations, is what's your activity level? So I always ask people, you know, during this phase, how many steps are you going to be getting in on average? Like what's realistic for you? How often are you going to be lifting weights, you know, intensity level, things like that. And, you know, for example, if someone told me, hey, yeah, I'm going to be walking 8K steps on average each week, but then they're not losing weight and we see, hey, you're actually only walking 4K steps per, you know, 4K steps per day on average, then that's going to make a big difference in caloric expenditure. So I'll tell them, Okay, well, we either need to up your step count if that's reasonable for you. If that's not reasonable for you, that's fine. But we might need to adjust your caloric intake to match that lower activity level. So there's that piece. And then after that, after those two things, I'm going to ask them about their lifestyle. You know, you can be hitting your calories perfectly, you can be hitting your steps perfectly. But if, again, your internal health isn't optimized, if you're eating a mostly highly processed diet, if you're barely sleeping, if you're drinking an excessive amount of alcohol, a lot of these factors can definitely impact your body's ability to burn fat, metabolize nutrients and everything, absorb nutrients properly, and can in the long term impact your ability to see results. So after all of those three factors, if then they still are not seeing weight loss, then I will typically say, well, let's try to just drop calories a little bit. Let's go down to 10 to 15% lower than what I gave you originally. Because sometimes, like, we have to remember, whenever a coach gives you calories or macros, that is truly just an educated guess. We are not hooking people up to machines to figure out their exact caloric expenditure, where there's no way to know someone's metabolism, and everyone genetically is just very different. It's just an educated guess. So when we give you these numbers, it's not the end all be all. And there's sometimes we have to play around with it a little bit to find what works for you. So it's not unreasonable, in my opinion, in most cases, to just try dropping calories a little bit to see if the person responds at that point. Only dropping though if they've been consistent. And then, yeah, like there's going to come a point where if they're still not seeing changes despite dropping calories, like at some point there's going to be like red flags in my mind saying there's something else going on. This isn't just a compliance issue. There's something deeper going on, whether it's a hormone issue or a gut issue. And at that point, you know, depending on the level of it, sometimes I can handle it. And then other times I'll just refer out to people like you, you know, to kind of dig deeper, someone that can do testing and can kind of give more in-depth protocols.
Definitely. I like how you talked mostly about what variables can we control today? What variables can we control this month to try to get things moving for you? And I think a lot of why some women may feel like they're doing everything right and not losing weight too, just comes from being in that state, that yo-yo of, well, some days I'm eating 1,000 calories, some days I'm eating 2,000, for so long that internal factors do get downregulated, mainly yes, thinking yes. about our thyroid, right? Our thyroid is mm-hmm. going to, at a certain point, slow down and help your body resist weight loss. Because even if we're overweight, our body likes to be at homeostasis, whatever that is at that time, it doesn't want to change. So that's why I like how you also are like, hey, let's give this like 3-4 weeks. Because for a lot of clients, I find they aren't going to see changes in their body or on the scale for that until that amount of time. Because for the first couple of weeks, your thyroid is doing everything that it can to resist that change. Your body is trying to hold on to the weight that it has because it's comfortable. So that's where, you know, if you are truly doing everything right, like Jordan mentioned, you're working with a coach, you're sure that you're in a deficit where you should be. A lot of times we have to think about, well, how much stress has your body been under? If you're someone that feels like you've been dieting for the last 10 years, it's very possible that your body's just tapped out. It's had enough. Your metabolic rate is pretty slow. And the best way to resolve that is to spend time eating more calories and come back to fat loss at a later date. So next up, Jordan, we're going to talk about reverse dieting, which I know you'll describe what that is for us, but reverse dieting is often something that is really scary for a lot of women. It's horrifying to think about, okay, well, I want to lose weight. Like, why should I eat more? So in your experience, you know, what is reverse dieting and what can women expect when starting this process?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, reverse dieting. So I hear the term used in multiple different ways. And I, even as a coach, I use it in multiple different ways too. I use the term. So I just kind of wanted to clarify what I mean by reverse dieting when we're talking about it. So a couple different ways to describe it. Reverse dieting can be Just the process of transitioning from a deficit up to maintenance. I use that term a lot with clients. Hey, we're just going to reverse diet you up to maintenance. It's not this long, slow, drawn out process. It's just a 2 to 3 week thing where we increase calories to maintenance. That's one way to use the term reverse dieting. And then there's also the way of, and I think this was kind of the original thought of like reverse dieting, is it's a slow incremental increase in calories on a week to week basis or a bi-weekly basis, to where we slowly and gradually increase calories from a lower amount up to what should be a healthy maintenance amount for a certain individual to where their body can thrive. So yeah, so with that, when we're talking about the transition of like reverse dieting, just strictly like, hey, we're going from a deficit up to maintenance, it's absolutely necessary for everyone. We cannot live in a deficit forever. I typically, in my experience as a coach, I usually have people in a deficit for anywhere from 8 to 16 weeks, usually, sometimes up to 20 weeks in a calorie deficit. But at some point, regardless of, even if the person still has more body fat that they need or want to lose, we still at some point, we have to go up to maintenance to restore those, you know, down regulations that can occur from being in a calorie deficit. So we have to remember, like, you know, let's say, for example, someone's maintenance, and I'm just talking very like broadly here. I know that maintenance is kind of like a range, like nobody has a stagnant number of maintenance calories, but let's just say someone's maintenance calories is around 2000. Okay. And let's say that a coach gives them 1600 calories because they have a weight loss goal. So they go on 1600 calories, they stay there for several weeks, they respond beautifully. Well, at some point during that process, we have to remember that like our bodies do not know that like there's food readily available at all times. And part of our body's kind of like survival mechanism is to basically prevent us from starving to death, right? So if it senses that we're losing weight, it's going to kind of be like, whoa, I need to do something to slow this process down so that I don't starve to death. Because again, this is just a biological process, how we were made as humans. Our bodies don't know that like, we live in the world we live in where there's literally food available all the time. So anyways, so like, yeah, like when you're in a deficit for so long, there are processes that begin to occur. We have down regulations of certain hormones like our thyroid hormones, leptin, our sex hormones that impact our metabolic rate and make that energy expenditure lower than it was prior. And then
And that's too where we'll see that plateau, right? You'll feel like I see some people where they're like, oh yeah, like I was losing. What did I do wrong? Like I'm stuck. I'm not losing anymore. And that's where sometimes we do have to adjust a variable while we're dieting, and calories have to get lower, or, you know, expenditure has to get higher. But kind of like, you know, you've mentioned, we have to get to that point where we reverse the adaptation and get your body back to a place where it's functioning optimally.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And like, you know, yeah, like the other component to that is, you know, studies have shown that our NEAT activity, so that non-exercise activity thermogenesis, basically just like the amount that we expend just like in everyday life, just doing little things like walking around, fidgeting, you know, talking with our hands, things like that, those begin to become downregulated when you're in a deficit, and energy expenditure is impacted that way as well. So yeah, like at some point, you're going to see weight loss slow down and then eventually halt at some point. And that's again where we start seeing weight loss resistance whenever these women go into deficits. You know, they're like, hey, I went into a deficit a year ago and I never reversed out of that. And they're just still eating at their deficit numbers. And it's like, okay, well, no wonder you're no longer seeing progress because you've just stayed at your numbers indefinitely. You know, we need to reverse up to what should be a healthy maintenance for you to restore those, you know, those hormones and your metabolism and everything, so that, yeah, you can go back into a deficit in the future and see further weight loss if you want to.
Definitely. And that's where, I don't know about you, but unless I know for a fact the client is already at maintenance when we start, I feel like 9 times out of 10, I need to start with a reverse diet, because so many women come to me in that state of under eating, whether they were trying to lose weight and they just didn't know what to do. So they stayed there. They were petrified that if they started eating more, they'd gain, or we just aren't taught how to eat. Right. And that's something that I wish I could change. I wish I could go into all elementary schools and start teaching, well, both girls and boys at a young age, like, hey, you need to eat, you know, every few hours. Your body needs this for energy, to be able to play, for whatever it is. But we aren't taught that. So we build these habits over time. A lot of times they're passed down to us from the way that we see our parents eat, even our grandparents. And we just aren't taught how to nourish our bodies. So I think 9 times out of 10, I am starting somebody with a reverse diet. And depending on the person, you know, that is often the catalyst to being able to lose weight in the future. And being in a maintenance phase, that is so, so essential for helping you reach your physique goals. So Jordan, you know, how does that phase really help us see change in the long run?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of going back to, it goes along with the reverse diet. I mean, it's basically after you reverse diet up to maintenance, we should stay there for, typically I tell people, you know, at least the amount of time that you were in your deficit, just to give your kind of your body time to kind of recover and everything from, yeah, the down regulations that occurred during your calorie deficit. So there's that piece to it, is of, yeah, it's like priming your body for future fat loss goals. If you want, there's definitely that piece. You know, you can think of it as kind of like a stepping stone for future goals, but there's also other parts of it. So like another thing, kind of like a fun part of maintenance, is I always tell girls, like, remember, you can see really good body recomp at maintenance if you're lifting weights.
Yeah.
And that's always a huge thing for a lot of people. And like most women, like, you know, they'll tell me like, oh, I want weight loss. And what they really want, whether they know it or not, is they want a little bit of fat loss and a little bit of muscle growth. They need a little bit of both to get really that look that they want. And yes, while in the short term, you can build a little bit of muscle in a calorie deficit, in the long term, it's going to be really, really hard to do that. Because remember, in a deficit, you're kind of in like a depleted state. You know, you don't have as many carbs circulating, don't have as much glucose for your muscles to utilize. So it's just harder for your muscles to recover and build when you're in a deficit. But when you're in a maintenance phase and you're eating enough and you're fueled properly, you can really push harder, and your body is just going to much more efficiently build and repair muscle tissue. And so again, you can see really cool body recomp changes. So it's kind of cool, like, especially my clients that are like leaner, and they're just people who are like, hey, I want to lose a little bit of body fat, but they know that they more so need that like muscle growth piece to it to get the body recomp they want. I'll tell them, spend like 6 months to a year in maintenance and then go into a deficit phase. And usually at that point, they're just, yeah, like they can build such a good amount of muscle during that time that they can be really satisfied with their look. So yeah, there's the fun muscle building piece to it. And then also with maintenance, I always tell people, like, remember, maintenance can be just that. It can be just maintenance. Like, it can be a time where you literally are just focusing on maintaining your maintaining muscle mass, maintaining the results of your deficit. You're not working on any certain strict physique related goal. You're just, yes, you're still taking care of yourself. Yes, you are still, you know, lifting weights for longevity and internal health. Yes, you're still, you know, eating healthy, eating a balanced diet for longevity and health, but like, you don't have these meticulous physique related goals. And I actually think that's really healthy. Like, that's really, like, mentally, a lot of people, they need that. They need to have periods of time where they're not always focusing on changing their body. They're just simply being, you know? So yeah, like, maintenance has, there's so many benefits to it. And I cannot emphasize enough just how important it is.
So many benefits. And like, kind of like you said, I'll always tell my clients, like, you're not going to improve your relationship with food or your body when you're in a deficit, when you're actively being so meticulous with your food, when you're always staring at yourself in the mirror, wondering, oh my God, are things going to change? Where at maintenance, not only is it a great time for your health and for muscle building, but it's just a great time to focus on other things and live your life. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have time to put in that level of consistency and adherence all year round that is required in a calorie deficit. And that's where I think a lot of people find this lifestyle unsustainable, because they can't find that in between of going so crazy, being in a deficit, tracking meticulously, only eating clean, or they go on the other end of it and just go crazy. But maintenance is really that in between. for you if you learn how to let it. You know, that is when you can show yourself, one, you know, I can eat these calories and I can go out to eat and I can enjoy my food and I can eat things I don't normally, and I can share that appetizer, have that drink, go on that vacation and not track my food, and my body will maintain just fine. Because realistically, at maintenance is when you're the healthiest. Absolutely. When your body is at homeostasis, when it feels safe, when it feels fed, when you have the best energy, the best sex drive. So there are so many benefits to getting there. And that's also how you bring it kind of full circle and big picture to say, well, I'm going to have to get out of this deficit eventually. I better learn how to maintain it now. So that's where I think going through all of these phases with a coach can be really helpful. Because that's how you do it, right? That's how you stop spinning your wheels and actually see sustainable change. And, you know, after going through all of these phases, Jordan, we've talked about, all right, we reverse dieted you, we've done maintenance, and you're in a healthier spot. What is the best way to approach fat loss from there?
Yeah. So once you're in a good spot for fat loss, I always like to tell women the best thing that you can do is develop like a long-term plan. So look at your year as a whole. Well, first of all, figure out what your overarching goal is. Is your overarching goal, like, are you someone that has more body fat that you need to lose? Are you someone with just a little bit of body fat to lose? Because it matters. It matters with timing of deficits. It matters with how many deficits you'll need to be in. I typically tell people, you know, you can expect to lose anywhere between, you know, 0.4 to 0.8% per week of current body weight. So, you know, you can kind of do the calculation to kind of see, okay, how many deficits is that going to require in a 1 or 2 year period of time. And then, yeah, look at your year as a whole and plan for your deficits again to be typically 8 to 16 weeks at a time. It's going to vary a lot per person, but just have a tentative plan and plan for your deficits during seasons of life where it's like not as busy. I'm not saying that there's ever going to be a perfect time for deficits, but realistically, like, most of us are not going to do well in a deficit over the holiday season when there's just naturally more social gatherings and hyperpalatable foods. It's just harder naturally to be in a deficit during that time. And I don't want you missing out on those things either. You know, certain people, like, they have, you know, over the summer, they have like 3 vacations planned. I'm like, okay, probably not a good time to be in a deficit. So again, there's not going to be a perfect time for anyone, but like, look at your schedule realistically, look at your year as a whole and plan for your deficits during those periods of time, and then plan your maintenance phases accordingly. And then, you know, from there, like, when it comes time to actually go into a deficit, where to start at, I typically tell people, like, you'll know what your maintenance is if you've done a maintenance phase. So from there, I just say take 15 to 20% off of the low end of your maintenance. And that's going to be a good place to start.
That's really helpful. So order of business number one is figure out what your maintenance is. You yes. can use like a calculator to figure that out. But again, that doesn't know you. It doesn't know your day to day. It doesn't know your stressors, your sleep. So don't take it for every, don't take it as everything. Just take it with a grain of salt. And that's where, you know, if you're not working with a coach, you'll have to play around with your maintenance. And usually I'll play around with increasing until my client feels like they can't anymore, either because their body is not responding positively, or they're just like, I am so full, I'm good, right? And it depends on the client and their goals for their maintenance phase, right? So being able to identify, well, where can I actually sustainably maintain my weight? That is the key stepping stone to creating a deficit that isn't insanely restrictive, right? Because most people do not need to start their deficit at like 1100 calories.
Right.
Have to get there depending on your body size, your activity factor, but usually you don't have to start there. And if you do, you have very little wiggle room. You don't really have anywhere else to go down without sacrificing, you know, hormonal health to a greater degree. So I feel like a big question that I get a lot with newer clients, especially, is, you know, how can I lose weight without sacrificing my relationship with food?
Yeah, great question. And again, that's one of my biggest goals as a coach is to help people, yeah, reach their goals without sacrificing their relationship with food. So multiple different things. First of all, I think it's always important that the client knows that, like, a calorie deficit is a short period of time. It is not meant to be a lifelong phase. It is a short period of time, again, like 8 to 16-ish weeks, where yes, we do need to be a little bit more dialed in and a little bit more consistent and precise with hitting our numbers. So it's going to require a little bit more effort and intention. But I think knowing, like having, like mindset is everything, knowing that it is just a phase, it's not forever, can be really, really helpful, first of all, for like allowing them to know that, hey, like more food is coming in the future. Another piece of that is like, yeah, just going to a coach and making sure you get realistic numbers. You know, if a coach gives you, I mean, I don't like to throw around numbers and say automatically 1200 is too low, because truth is, like, a very petite, tiny girl might need 1200 calories to lose weight. But in general, you know, most people don't need that low of calories. So I always say, like, make sure you go to a trusted coach, a professional dietitian or whatever, to make sure that you're getting appropriate numbers, because having an extremely low calorie goal is just naturally going to probably affect your relationship with food if you're barely able to eat. Another piece to that is like, I truly believe in the art of pre-logging. So I always tell my girls, like, when you're in a deficit, the best thing that you can do to set yourself up for success and to also make sure that you can kind of fit in life, like, you know, hey, getting brunch with my friends on a Tuesday, or, you know, going out to dinner with my husband, you know, on Saturday, you can still do those things. Again, it's going to take a little bit more planning, but like pre-logging is really the key to be able to fit those in. And maybe that sounds silly, but like really what pre-logging is you're tracking your entire day of eating before you actually eat it.
Oh, yeah.
So it does allow you to fit in those more fun foods, those things that are maybe not quote macro friendly, that are easy to fit in, but you know, with a little bit of planning, you can put those things in, which, you know, from what I've seen, that tends to make people feel a lot less diety. And again, it doesn't hurt their relationship with food in the process.
Oh yeah. I think that's a game changer for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, you're not hyperfixating and playing macro Tetris in my fitness pile all day because you have to figure out, well, can I fit this? Can I fit that? It's like, no, like it's all in there. If you need to make a simple pivot, you just delete what you don't want and put what you want in there. But I also think it, like you said, it helps you eat the foods that you actually care about. So like I have a lot of clients that love having like a bedtime sweet snack. And I tell them, like, you don't have to stop doing that. You could still eat chocolate or eat a cookie or eat whatever it is. Even if you're in a deficit, just log it ahead of time, make it work, and you're golden. You know, as long as you're prioritizing 80 to 90% of your day is pretty damn nutrient dense, fit in those fun things, because that's also how you can make the deficit sustainable for the period of time that you need to be in it.
Exactly. 100% agree.
But another question I feel like I get a lot is, well, do I have to track my calories and macros to lose weight?
Yeah, great question. So overall, no, you do not have to. That's a short answer. Being in weight loss, it just comes down to being in a calorie deficit. And I'm sure there have been many times in a lot of people's lives where they've lost weight either unintentionally or just by being cognizant of their intake, right? So no, it's clear you do not have to track your macros meticulously to lose weight. However, I will say, kind of going back to what we talked about before, most of the population severely underestimates their caloric intake. And that's due to just not having that level of awareness of how many calories they're actually consuming. So yes, I am a little bit biased towards utilizing macro tracking as a tool, but it truly is just a tool. And it doesn't have to be this like meticulous thing. And it definitely does not have to be long-term. I highly encourage people, if you're a macro tracker, I really do encourage people to eventually transition out of that to at least a more looser approach, because I do not think that people need to do it long-term, but I think it can be a wonderful tool in the short term to learn. With that being said, you know, I think there are other methods. You know, we can kind of use like the build your plate method as well. There's so many different tools. And I think, again, working with a coach is going to be your best bet for something like that. So I know I have some clients where we'll start out kind of using like the build your plate, and then we'll transition slowly into macro tracking. So again, they can kind of get that deeper level of awareness of their intake. But yeah, it can go so many different directions, kind of depending on the person.
And I view it the same exact way. I think it's one of the best educational tools to actually learn what your body needs and what like eating a balanced meal even looks like, right? Because especially, you know, you'll see certain products that are like high protein and it's like 7 grams of protein. And you're like,
Exactly.
that's not high protein. And you'll actually get to learn like, okay, you know, this is what it looks like when I build this plate at home. That translates. I go out to eat now. I know what kind of portions I need. I know what it looks like in order to build a mindful meal without having to meticulously track everything. So I think I definitely agree with Jordan, where I'll have a lot of clients transition into tracking, but then also add periods of periodization where they're purposely not tracking. I want you to feel comfortable going away for a weekend and not being chained to your MyFitnessPal or taking a week off of tracking because you can and you're in a good place to do so. Will I recommend that in a deficit? No, definitely not. I do have clients that they've worked with me for a long time and they've truly built that awareness to where they would be able to estimate what's in their meal without tracking it. And for them, you know, some of my moms that are in that position, I'll have them, you know, go ahead and don't track dinner tonight. Like, that's fine. Enjoy dinner with your kids. Look beforehand what you have left. Or, you know, with Easter coming up, I have a couple clients who are in a deficit where I'm like, you're fine. Don't track. Just build a balanced plate and you'll be fine. Right. But I think the awareness has to be there first to understand, well, what does a balanced plate even mean? Like, what does that mean? What kind of foods or what quantities of foods do I need? So definitely on the same page with that. And I think we also, you know, answered the question about, you know, can I still enjoy social occasions and dining out while losing weight? Kind of big takeaway there would be plan ahead. Any other takeaways on that one?
Yeah, plan ahead and don't be in such a severe calorie deficit that you're miserable and that you can't fit in those things, basically.
That too.
I always tell people diet on the highest amount of calories that you're able to, honestly. Less is not always better. Or more is not always better, however you want to say it in that scenario. You know what I mean?
Yes. Less calories is not always more results. A lot of times less calories is more stress, more being hangry, more shitty sleep, more crazy blood sugar. So definitely making sure we're viewing it as supporting our body versus trying to underfeed our body. And that's something that I talk to my girls a lot about is I'm like, hey, especially in a reverse, I'm like, think about your calorie goal as a minimum. Like, I want you to hit that. Your body needs at least that. Yes. I'd rather you go over 10 grams of something than be under it right now, right? The goal isn't to stay below your targets. And that's where, you know, especially when you're not dieting, when you're reversing, when you're at maintenance, your metabolism is naturally better able to adapt. So it's not abnormal to have a meal where you go a little overboard because you were caught up in conversation and you overeat a little bit. And you're like, oh shoot, I'm extra full. But guess what? Your body can handle it. If you treat your metabolism well and you get to maintenance and you spend time there, your body's going to be a lot more resilient and it's going to work with you a lot better. And I always will tell my clients when it comes to like dining out too, like focus on the people you're with, focus on the environment. Don't hyperfixate on the food. Don't obsess over, well, should I eat this? Should I eat that? Look at the menu ahead of time. If you have a coach, you can even send it to them. That's something that I do with my clients a lot, especially if they're in a deficit and they're trying to plan their meals. But the biggest thing is don't make it a big thing. Don't make it a huge deal and just try to treat it like any other meal, right? Because if you wanted to, you could take leftovers and eat it the next day. If you wanted to, you could go back to that same restaurant next week by yourself and order the same thing. It's always going to be there. Same with holidays too.
Absolutely. And that's where mindset, I think, comes into it. It's so, so important.
It's honestly the most important thing in my opinion for any type of body composition change or health improvement.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
And this has been such a helpful conversation here, Jordan, but kind of one final question for you. If you had to give the women listening just kind of one final takeaway for those out there that are trying to change their bodies or lose weight for the last time, what would that be?
I would say I have two pieces of advice, actually. So I would say be okay with taking the long route this time. I think so many women, they have always tried the quick fix. And has the quick fix ever actually worked? Probably not. So be okay with taking the quote long route. I can guarantee you that it's actually going to be the quicker route. And number two, hire a coach. I firmly, firmly believe as a coach myself that like Everyone needs a coach. Even coaches need coaches. And even if you have all the knowledge, just having that extra level of support and accountability and like an outside set of eyes, because we tend to get up emotional sometimes about our own progress and everything, and we can be very hard on ourselves. So it's just really helpful to have that outside set of eyes. So like, let someone help you. You know, there are so many amazing coaches out there. And like, just, you know, do your research, find someone that you click with, find someone, like most importantly, find a coach that you truly feel like you can be open and honest with, and hire that person. You know, this kind of is like a coaching tip, like hire a coach and, you know, but like I say, make sure that you hire someone you can be fully transparent with. And because they're not going to be able to help you. If you just hire a coach and you just barely ever talk to them, you don't open up and tell them your struggles, tell them your wins, they're going to have a hard time helping you because they're not going to know how to help you. So just find someone truly that you can be very open and honest with.
I love that. And just investing in yourself in that way to take the long route, to learn how to do it the right way and to get help if you need it, it's worth it. And you've said this, but you're worth it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You so are worth it.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. This has been amazing. So those of you who are not currently following Jordan need to do that. She is an amazing human and you're going to want to keep up with her. So I will drop Jordan's Instagram in the show notes, and thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you liked this episode, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast, share it with somebody else who you think might need it, and we'll talk to you soon.